This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
BFM 89.9, it is coming up to 7:38 in the evening and you're listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and in the studio with me, as always, we have Sharmila Ganesan.
Hello.
And over Zoom today, we have Arvind Yuvaraj, again as always.
Hello.
And now...
the wild card.
Yeah, the wild card here. We have BFM's own Audrey Raj.
It's so weird. It's dark outside and I'm in the studio. Yeah, it's been a while.
It ain't 10 a.m. anymore.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Things go slightly off the rails at about this time. So we today are gathered to talk about children's entertainment, as you might have guessed based off of that little track telling you how to get to Sesame Street. And we are also going to be hearing throughout the show from actual kids, right, telling us what it is that they're watching. Or more specifically, our question was, what is your favorite?
Yes.
And why?
And you know, they tell us never to work with children because they will upstage you. And I kind of feel like, having listened to these clips, upstage me all you want because you're so cute. Was I ever that cute? I hope so.
They're so cute. They're adorable.
Okay, I have no idea what shows they're talking about, but they're cute.
I haven't heard them and now I'm just looking forward to this.
So we will be playing that throughout the show and we're going to come to our first one very, very shortly. But in the meantime, again, this is what we're talking about today, kids' shows. So what you enjoyed as a kid, what, if you have kids, what they might be enjoying right now, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 7733-2900, WhatsApping 018-789-8899, and tweeting us at BFM Radio. So before we get into individual favourites, I just wanted to start off with a couple of questions for you guys. First thing, what was the first thing you watched, whether movie or TV? Like, what is the biggest memory you have? Like, this is the thing I watched. And then secondly, do you think that it made you who you are today? Just a small question, no big deal. Arvind, maybe we'll start with you.
Okay, so first TV show, it has to be Sesame Street. Like, first TV show I watched has to be Sesame Street. Either that or Thundercats. I think they were like on par with each other. First movie I watched has to be Tim Burton's Batman, 1989. I think I watched it a couple of years after it came out, and I watched it when I was like super, super young. And I have like a Lego Batman figurine on my desk, like now. So I think it shaped who I am. I think it had a lot of influence. But yeah, those are my two firsts.
Me? Am sure. I going next? Okay. Well, I was going to say Sesame Street because that's one of the earliest memories I have. But because Arvind said that already, I have this huge memory of an A on the screen, you know, the letter of the day thing. But I think the other concurrent memory I have is things like Roadrunner. And did it make me who I am today? Yes, because sometimes when I'm angry with people, I wish I could drop an anvil on them. So maybe it did.
It taught you healthy anger coping mechanisms.
Also making sure that you are not the one who gets the anvil falling on you, right?
You also say beep beep a lot.
Do I? Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Not that I recall, but maybe I do. But movies, I think the earliest movie I have a recollection of is probably one of the Disney animated ones. Either Snow White or Cinderella. It's probably one of those two because I had very worn out copies of those. And I mean, I now have a lifelong love of all things Disney. So I think, yes, definitely it was very formative for me.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah, putting you on the spot.
Okay, so I know I watched Sesame Street, but I don't have any recollection of it. I remember, you know, this episode was brought to you by the letter A and the number 4 or something like that. But that's all. I don't remember the actual episodes. I shared my television with my dad and my uncle, so I got to watch Transformers and Thundercats. And so that was like my earliest memories. But I think the cartoons that really shaped me would have to be the Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. Daffy Duck, I think, is the reason why I'm so sarky sometimes. Yeah, that's where I get my inspiration. And if you ask about movies, I would have to say Bambi, because Arvin knows this. I actually don't quite like Disney cartoons because I always feel like someone's going to die in it, you know? And when I first watched Bambi and what happened with Bambi's mom, that scarred me. I never watched, I'd never finished it. So I guess that one stuck with me.
Yeah, I'm also going to talk about Disney trauma because the first movie that I remember watching is Pinocchio, and which is terrifying, right? It has lots of scenes that are really scary.
Yeah, Pinocchio is terrifying, yeah.
Yes, and you know, it's a great one if you really want to traumatize your kids into believing that they must never, ever lie. Lying is the absolute worst thing that you could do. So just a quick tip to parents out there. But I do remember feeling so terrified when the whale opens his eye that I went screaming through the house for my mother. And I think about that often when I think about the power of cinema, because it's such a simple image. But I think if you have your audience in the palm of your hand, then that's the kind of thing that you can kind of get away with. As far as TV goes, yeah, I think we've kind of named them all. They live in that realm. I also just wanted to quickly shout out Sangkanchil. Because
The animated version.
Yes. Because I remember, you know, it learning about them sort of in school but and through books and watching them come alive through those beautifully saturated animation, I think really helped them be real to me. I don't know how else to put it, but I love them so much.
Jangan monyet, jangan.
See what I mean? Yeah, I wanted to call everyone Sang something for a little while. But enough about us. Like we promised you, we do have the voices of kids telling us what their favorites are. So here's the first bunch.
My name is Declan and I am 5 years old. My favorite TV show is Thunderbirds Are Go. It's about international rescue, and they fly the Thunderbirds to rescue people. My favorite Thunderbird is Thunderbird 2. It's awesome because they got lots of pods and can lift very heavy things. I like Thunderbirds because they're fast and they are used to save people.
Trolls, because it's funny.
My name is Aryan and I'm 8 years old. My favorite show is Voltron. I love it because it is action-packed in outer space.
Hi everyone, my name is Maya. I am 8 years old. My favorite show is Full House. I like it because it is hilarious. They play pranks on each other and do many silly things. I learned to say, "Oh, police," and "How rude" from this show.
So there you go. Speaking of formative experiences, I learned to say police. And so anything stand out to you from that bunch? I think they were all great choices.
Well, also surprisingly retro.
Yeah. Voltron, I like Voltron because it's action-packed and it's in space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my guy. Yeah.
It's interesting that you said retro because I think it's because the parents would have introduced them to the content that they are watching. Like, I'm sure their parents grew up watching Voltron. Like, they know what Voltron is. And then there's a new Voltron on one of the streaming services. And then, you know, they introduce their kids to Voltron. So I think, you know, they're naming a lot of retro titles and content because their parents are showing them retro titles and content that they used to watch growing up.
And Full House is definitely along that line, I think, of something that if I had children, because I loved watching it as a kid, that I would want to share it with them as well.
And if you wanted to to raise a kid who was hilarious, yes, that would be just wonderful. On Twitter, we do have a few shares as well. We have Ahmad Hafiz, who just sent a GIF of He-Man. With nice. I Have the Power. So a lot of retro vibes coming through, you're right. And we have another tweet of Tom and Jerry.
Well, who didn't? Okay, so Odds and I talked about this earlier when we were talking about coming on the show and how Tom and Jerry just wouldn't fly in today's environment. And yet we watched it and we don't feel we have been unduly traumatized by the violence.
What, you mean the casual violence and the general sort of decapitating?
Jerry was quite awful to Tom. I mean, like, really so.
But Tom always survived.
And it's funny because when you're growing up, you don't quite know which person's side you're supposed to be on. And I think there's something to that about the fact that it is a very, very simple show, but there's weird amounts of ambiguity that you only notice when you grow up, right? Because when you're young, you're like, yeah, Tom is bad, Jerry should just win. But then as a grown-up, you're like, Jerry's kind of mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Same with Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, right? Yeah.
Roadrunner, actually, is Wile E. Coyote is such a tragic figure, to be honest. Like, he just tries and tries, and you don't even... Does he want to eat the Roadrunner? Does he just not like him?
He's always imagining the Roadrunner, you know, roasted on a platter, right? Mm. But, yeah, poor dude. But also, you know, he's the picture of perseverance.
Yes.
Is he not? Yeah.
So I feel like there are lessons to be learned there.
Everywhere. So today we are talking about children's entertainment by looking at what it is that we remember and enjoyed from our childhoods and why we love them. But we would also love to know from you, right? Kids entertainment. What did you watch growing up? What did you love? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have more coming your way and also more voices of children telling us what it is that they love. You're listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Wind, water,
heart,
go!
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. He's our powers magnified, and he's fighting on the planet side. Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. Gonna help him put asunder bad guys who like to
too, 'cause saving our planet is the thing to do. Looting and polluting is not the way. Hear what Captain Planet has to say.
The power is yours.
7:51 in the evening, and welcome to your Captain Planet fancast, which is what Popcorn Culture just turned into with a bunch of people rapping in studio. So yes, you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvind, Sharmila, and today Audrey, and we're talking about children's entertainment. And we're starting off by talking about what we loved when we were kids, and we would like to know what it is that you did as well as what your kids might be watching these days. Again, those numbers, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at PFM Radio. So let's just talk a little bit about Captain Planet. Because when we were first planning the show, this was the one thing that came up and we all instantly went, we have to talk about this.
Yes. So I used to think it was a girl thing for some reason, because everyone I know who loved Captain Planet were mostly girls. But Arvind also clearly had great feelings for it, for the show.
I would hunt, like, the, you know, the Planeteer, the rings.
Yes.
So every mall that I went to, and they had like toy sections, they used to have like toy sections in different malls, I would go to the different toy sections looking for those rings, and they never had them.
I have a hack for you, my friend. Do you know those rings that were also candy?
Mm. Yes.
They work amazingly as Planeteer rings. And then you can eat them.
See, I wish I could go back like 27 years and then now do that. Yeah.
No, but there was something so awesome about that show. And I feel like it would be so relevant even today. So it actually shocks me that there's been, nobody's attempted a remake or a reboot or whatever, because that whole idea of, oh, you can do something to save this planet, and having characters from around the world and all of them coming together to save the world, it was so, I don't know, it made you feel like you know, the activist you eventually wanted to become.
So, like, I felt, I don't know, listening to what you say, 25, 27 years ago, but I was still quite I was a bit older already when Captain Planet came out, but I used to still kind of sneak and watch it. And I know that my parents used to watch it with me as well. So I guess it kind of like transcend generations. You know, everyone could have enjoyed it during that time.
I don't know what makes that show special. I think you're right. It's that weird multicultural mix. It's having an incredibly catchy theme song. And it is definitely ripe for a reboot. I think we spoke last week, was it? I don't know. The day is...
last week.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. You know, we spoke last week about what would make a good reboot. And we ended up talking quite a lot about technology and how that, you know, if you have the technology to make something look better, then that might be the right time. And I think, you know, having a live action Captain Planet might be kind of welcome.
You know, I think that, but I also feel like after seeing what happened with, say, Gem and the live action remake, I feel like there's a sensibility to that late 80s, early 90s that's just lost on a lot of today's creators. Unless it's like a Stranger Things where they actually understand what made that era special and it's an homage as well as a fresh retelling. I don't know. I feel like it will turn into something I don't quite want to see, and I'd rather just watch the old show again.
Don't ruin the memory of Captain Planet for me, please. Don't.
Fine. Make it for me, filmmaker. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I wouldn't want to see it. I think they just ruin it with like way too many themes, and they'd make it too heavy for its own good and just like weigh it down with newness. I think they should just leave it to its time, like, you know, the early 90s or whenever it came out. There's a kind of innocence about Captain Planet that I think wouldn't work today. They just weigh it down with way too many things.
So we do have some thoughts coming through from Tenny, who says, you know, the two most annoying puppets, Cookie Monster and Grouchy of Sesame Street, were really funny. Thundercats was the ultimate cartoon. 80s cartoons are too much. You just can't list them all. Woody Woodpecker, Popeye. Transformer, He-Man, G.I. Joe, you know, Visionaries, Inhumanoids, Voltron. So the list is going on. And there is something about, I don't know whether it's just because we are all of a generation, or whether there really was something in the water about those particular sorts of 80s cartoons. I don't know what it is that makes them memorable. And Arvin, I mean, you brought it up, this notion of 80s-ness that you don't want to see recalibrated. What do you think it is?
I think it goes back to that. The one is the simplicity of the 80s-ness. Stuff like Thundercats. They tried making Thundercats again a few years ago, like the early 2000s. It didn't work. The early 2010s, it didn't work. Because people just want more from their cartoons and their shows and their content, I think. But for that time, it works well when you have a good guy and a bad guy and conflict in between. You don't have to convolute it with too many things. So I think that's one. But the other thing is the 90s cartoons were completely different from the 80s stuff because they were grittier, they were heavier, they had more themes, they were slightly more violent. I'm thinking about stuff like Batman, the animated series, which again wouldn't work in today's world because there would be way too many people looking at those themes and going, it's either too dark or it's too, you know, it's stuff that kids shouldn't be watching. So I think these cartoons or these shows just belong in their decade. If you bring them forward to where we are now or you try to remake them the same way, it's just going to fall apart.
So we have once again a quick little clip of kids talking about what their favorites are. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Isaac, and I'm 8 years old, and I like to watch Glitch Tech because the goblets are so cool.
Hi, I'm Lala Ali Johan, and I'm 5 years old, and my favorite cartoon is Tots.
Hi, I'm Aiden. I'm 9 years old. I like Brawl Talk from YouTube because it gives you the information on the next Brawl Stars update.
Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I'm 10 years old. I like to watch Meryl Twins on YouTube because they put a lot of effort into their weekly videos, and their videos are really, really funny.
Hi, everybody. I'm Baby Ayana. I like to watch... I don't know. I like to watch Ben and Hoey. Because I guess Tony is jumping in the round. And there's Peppa Pig. That's my favorite. I love Peppa Pig.
Aww.
Okay, that last one was mine.
All right.
So just how much do you love Peppa Pig?
I don't love it enough to sing Peppa Pig every time I mention Peppa Pig, but she's two, and she's really attached to Peppa Pig. And from the same creators, I think there's also Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom. And I have to admit, I'm not so much a fan of Peppa Pig, but I really enjoy Ben and Holly because I feel like a bit of the humor there, it's for us adults. And so I love the fact that I get to watch that with her. But it's not only these shows that she watches. She's also gravitates towards some of the YouTube content. You see young girls with new toys, and so she
like unboxing?
Yeah, not so much unboxing. It's like videos they do, like little girls with their dads, and there's like these millions. Like there was one channel that had like 75 million views for just like one video of this girl playing with toys with her father, and it's just like, I just feel bad because I can't buy my daughter those toys, right? But that she really enjoys watching that. At least I don't have to buy her those toys. You know, she can just live and play through that girl on YouTube.
Yeah. Through YouTube.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we do have to hit to the news and kind of interrupt this a little bit. But I think, Oz, you brought up several points that I'm going to pick up on after the 8 o'clock news, because there's just so much, right? Like YouTube content, what it is that the difference between what we used to watch and what kids are watching now. So we'll come back with all of that after this. Again, if you would like to weigh in on what your favorites were or are, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
1,000 years ago, superstition and the sword ruled. It was a time of darkness. It was a world of fear. It was the age of gargoyles. Stone by day, warriors by night. We were betrayed by the humans we had sworn to protect, frozen in stone by a magic spell for 1,000 years. Now here in Manhattan, the spell is broken, and we live again. We are defenders of the night. We are gargoyles.
8:07 in the evening, and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Audrey here in the studio, and Arvin over Zoom. So that was, of course, as the theme repeatedly said, gargoyles. And that, I think, prompted this thought, which is, how do you guys feel about darker themes, especially when it comes to children's entertainment? Because what we've been talking so far, I think, are mostly pretty palatable stuff, right? With the exception of the violence inflicted, the cat-mouse violence in Tom and Jerry.
But no one dies.
No one dies. But I think there are shows and cartoons and movies, we talked about Bambi's Mom, that talk about deeper themes, darker, stranger things. And they live kind of almost hidden beneath cutesy animation and cute theme songs. You know, do you think that that's what kids want? Because I do.
Ooh. So I think that's what kids definitely want. Mm-hmm. I loved watching things like Gargoyles when I was a kid, or even movies, which, you know, because of the lack of a rating system when I was growing up, I watched Poltergeist and Exorcist on TV2 way before I was old enough to watch those things. But I'm actually kind of interested to hear, like, someone who's a parent, Audrey,
yes.
Because does that affect what you decide to let your kids watch?
First and foremost, I can't believe I'm the parent you guys chose to have on the show. So I have a two-year-old and I have two 14-year-olds at home as well. And, well, they just watch completely different things, but they also watch the kind of the same things together. I know the older girls, they definitely are looking for darker side, like, you know, things, you know, just under the storyline that's just, you know, bubbling there. They look forward to things like that. The small one, no, she just enjoys, you know, laughing out loud when Daddy Pig's falls on the floor and, you know, things like that. So, but I think I would be somewhat concerned about, like, gargoyles. I didn't watch growing up just because maybe it was just too scary for me. So, you know, when that was playing, I was just thinking, how am I going to walk back to the car after this? So that's what was going through my mind. So I think I might be slightly concerned because I know the smaller one, maybe she's just a bit too young for something like that. She might get scared. I'm thinking about nightmares. But the older ones, if that's what they enjoy, then so be it.
My parents, I think, and of course I'm not saying that's the way to be at all. I mean, they were fine. But what I mean is my parents were really of the school of thought that, okay, you think you're not going to be scared, you can watch it. Later, if you cannot sleep, you don't come and wake me up. You know? So I'm not, and I think that there's something to be said for, especially when you get older. Two is young, I think. But when you're slightly older, you are kind of drawn to maybe working out your fears of the world with the things you watch and read. And I think that's fine as long as you have adult supervision.
Yeah. I don't know. The lack of darker stuff is the reason why I stopped watching like cartoons altogether in between. I started again recently after stuff like Adventure Time. Then you have stuff like Gravity Falls. You have newer cartoons that are slightly darker that resemble stuff that came out in the 90s. But in between the 2000s, cartoons, I think, took a sort of a more vanilla approach to, you know, animation. So you just have like your basic good guy, bad guy storylines. You'd have your moral of the story. You'd have your very simplistic form of cartoons. But now I think it's going back to the 90s. And if I don't think I would have enjoyed cartoons or watching the stuff that I watched growing up as much if it was not as dark, because I think the adults who were making the cartoons sort of poured themselves into their work without much filter, and they sort of treated kids in a sense that they assumed or they believed that the kids would latch onto these themes and understand these themes. And I think kids resonated with that. I know I did growing up.
So there's dark and then there's weird. And so I really liked weird. I enjoyed things like... I don't know if Nightmare Before Christmas is considered strange. I liked Cow and Chicken, you know, just...
Yes.
Yeah, but those are actively weird. I mean, if you think about Cow and Chicken... Or cat dog.
Cat dog. Yes.
Cat dog.
They are actively strange, slightly disgusting looking cartoons. And I think that there is something about that that encourages your imagination to run wild, right? Because that's essentially what it is. It's like, look, guys, someone out there in the world conceived of cat dog. And so if they can do it and you can enjoy it, that might mean that... whatever weird lump of a potato that you drew that has like three eyes or whatever, you know, that could find a creative home someday. And so that to me, I think, is what I took away from the slightly odder, off-kilter stuff that I grew up watching.
So the thing is, when I used to watch Cat Dog and Cow and Chicken especially, my parents would walk by and go like, what are you watching? What is this?
Oh yeah, that was a very parent thing to say.
And they'd literally call it rubbish. No, what rubbish is this? Why can't you watch something else? And so, but they were okay with X-Men. You know, with like all these weird superpowers and stuff like that. They were okay with X-Men, but like, yeah, they didn't quite get Cow and Chicken.
So the weirdness that you just pointed out, I think, brings us to something that came up for all of us, which is the birth of Nickelodeon, because I think they really took that and ran with it, right? You have shows like Rugrats, where the kids are cute, but they're also, let's admit it, quite weird looking. I loved Rugrats, you know. Hey Arnold is Nickelodeon as well.
Yes, which I love.
I love the boy with a head like a football.
Football head.
Yeah. And I think that Nickelodeon understood, you know, with the shows about being slimed and whatever, that kids didn't really want to live in the perfect world that maybe their parents wanted them to be in. And kids wanted to get dirty and, you know, be weird and laugh at things. And that's kind of part of the process of growing up as well.
So coming to recommendations right now, we do have Dr. L on Twitter going, The Loud House, very relatable. You can also get some good parenting tips, which I think is a nice, you know, buy two, free one kind of situation. We also have Tenny back to say Smurfs. Anybody?
Ooh. Oh, yes. There I like the cartoons, not the remakes.
No. Not 3D Smurfs, no. 2D Smurfs, and Gummy Bears, which I quite enjoyed when I was a kid. Jonathan says, surprised that no one mentioned Centurions or Mask, the ultimate 80s cartoons.
I never watched those. They're familiar to me. But no, I never watched those.
I'm with Sham. But there was one that I keep mentioning, and that was Silverhawk. And no one seems to remember that as well.
I don't remember that, no.
Yeah, so that was only like one season back in 1985. So I guess some of you weren't born yet. But yeah, that was really cool. And they were like protectors of in space. And that's all I can remember. But I know I really loved it. And it just never came back.
I love that you have this one season cartoon. Now you're the original hipster.
Oh, thanks.
Of 80s cartoons.
Of 80s cartoons.
But to drag us kicking and screaming into 2020, here are what our next batch of kids are loving and watching.
Hi, my name is Adrian. My age is 11 years old. And my favorite movie is Avengers Endgame. Why I like to watch that movie, it is because it is funny and entertaining, and I can learn about some of the characters' past life. Part of it, I like how they make teamwork, their friendship, and I like those action characters like the Hulk and Thor.
I like school bus because the green one with the spiky thing always be scared when the friends talk to him. I also like princess shoes when it's... But there's another princess shoe that is inappropriate. Wings.
Is it Wings? Oh, I see. So which princess show is appropriate that you like to watch?
True. You know the cat? Remember, I know that the monsters come and eat the cat's fishy snacks. Eat the fishy snacks for the cat.
Okay, you
understand? It's really funny, you know. My favorite show is Hot Toss Win because it is funny, and then it has very funny creatures, and then the man can take out his head. I like the blobby person, and it's so funny. It's always a blobby person.
Hello, I am Sahana. I am 9 years old. I like to watch Spirit because I love horses. And I also like to watch Investigators because I like to see kids solving difficult cases.
Lovely. So there you go, a bunch of votes for disgusting funny things.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, which, by the way, Walter says, I thought the Ren and Stimpy show was disgusting. Does anybody
super
want to...
disgusting.
All right. Does anyone want to defend Ren and Stimpy, though?
Disgusting good? Bad? I wasn't a huge follower.
Same. I didn't watch it. I watched a bit of it, but it was super, super, super disgusting. I'm not going to defend it.
All right, doubling down. We also have a message here from Addie who says, love Cow and Chicken and Captain Planet. And does anyone remember the Pinky and the Brain?
Oh,
the theme song just gets into your head. I couldn't even say it without falling into the rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And it's going to stick with you. Oh,
yes.
No.
It's going to be there forever. And now an important one for you, Audrey. Are you ready? Because Loke says, I remember Silverhawks.
Finally.
I think it was after the success of Thundercats.
I can finally start that club you've been dreaming
of.
Yes.
And also, Loke says, I used to watch Woody Woodpecker and Popeye along with Flintstones and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yes. Mm. Woody Woodpecker. I loved Woody Woodpecker. And that laugh and... Yeah, I don't... You know what? I actually suddenly remember that. I have no idea what the show was about except that I loved him.
Wasn't he wearing a suit? Or like just
he
the
was
top
like
half
blue,
of the suit?
Blue and red.
Yeah.
And the laugh. That's what...
I think looking back now...
Yes, I'm leaving the studio now.
Please don't. But looking back now, I realise that I was a really susceptible child, and I wonder whether other children are equally susceptible, because with the mention of Popeye, I remember that it did convince me to eat spinach.
Mm.
Oh, okay,
not
fine.
Me.
Fine.
No.
I'm the success. Fine. I'm leaving the studio as well. Great. Walter, meanwhile, is back to talk about Ren and Stimpy and says, disgusting bad.
Okay. Okay. Well, we are not disagreeing.
the definitive word on Ren and Stimpy. So we're talking today about children's entertainment and what it is that we've loved and why. Most importantly, I think, why. What is it that makes a great piece of entertainment great for kids? And asking you what your favorites have been. Again, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Petrie, do you think you could fly up there?
No, and... no.
Petrie, do not feel sad. It is all right. Many things do not fly. Rocks, trees, sticks, spikes.
Hey!
No!
Ducky, push Petrie towards the branches. All right, Spike. Not too fast. Whoa! Oh, okay. Hey, not too fast! Hey, not too fast!
BFM 89.9, it's 8:21, and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, Audrey, and Arvin. And together, we're all talking about kids' entertainment. We've been spending a bit of time talking about what it is that we love and why, you know, whether we veer more towards the gross, weird side of things or maybe a more straightforward thing. And we wanted to talk about Land Before Time because I think there is this question about the fact that we do find ourselves wanting to have children in our lives watch the things we love. We assume that because we love them so much and we found them so fascinating that kids should as well. But I think the truth is that, at least from what I've observed, what you see on their TVs and screens looks so different to what we watched that it's incredibly difficult for a modern kid to watch something like Land Before Time and find it attractive. The colours are simply too faded. Everything's moving too slow. I don't know. Odds, have you found that to be your experience?
Yeah, definitely. So something like this wouldn't fly back home. I think it comes down, like you said, no, it's animation is one thing, but also it's just the variety, the choices that kids have today. You know, because if something on TV is just not appealing enough, they can just go stream for something else, or they go on YouTube and you've got a whole bunch of stuff you can actually learn on YouTube. So the fact that there's like tons and tons of videos and cartoons and content on YouTube, I think they're not going to watch something like Land Before Time. They're just going to watch something else.
Mm. I think also, you know, and this, and we've talked about this before, the pace of things have changed, right? Even movies. I watch kids' shows today and I find them dizzyingly fast. Everything moves and pops out at you and jumps around and there's sounds. And compared to that, something like Land Before Time, I'm listening to it now and it sounds like I'm listening to an adult film. It's kind of slow and it unfolds. There's lots of dialogue and things are slow. They're as slow as the dinosaurs that are walking. But I loved it. And I think it's just that. My cousins who are in their teens now watch something like Back to the Future and think it's slow. Whereas at that time, that was a snappy, like, you know, very modern film. So I just think that sensibility is very difficult to translate.
Do you think it's because the cartoons that are done today are also designed for adults and kids? Because I know a lot of adults who watch Adventure Time. I don't know a lot of adults who used to watch the same cartoons that...
Oh, we seem to have lost Arvin.
Oh no, in mid-sentence too.
No.
Okay, so we're going to try to get Arvin back. But while we wait, I think that there is something to that point about things being relatable for both kids and adults. Because what's happening now is that we are adults talking about what it is that we watched when we were children, but we're not necessarily talking about watching things now and enjoying them, meaning like watching what it is that kids are watching these days and liking what they're coming back with. So I think that there... Do you guys appreciate when people make... when people make kids' content that's meant to relate to adults as well, you know, do you appreciate that or do you think it dilutes enjoyment?
Most definitely. I want to be able to watch while she's watching as well. Just because, you know, we share a television. So if I'm going to sit there and watch something for hours, especially during MCO, you know, where you know, we're giving her a little bit more lead time with... leeway with screen time, and I'm gonna need to be able to stomach whatever it is she's watching for long periods of time. And so I really appreciate the fact that some of the cartoons that she watches, I get to enjoy as well.
I was going to actually disagree with Arvind a little bit, and he's not here to defend himself, so I feel bad. But my dad and my granddad actually used to sit down and watch Woody Woodpecker and Flintstones and Tom and Jerry and Sylvester and Tweety with us. So I actually think that those cartoons, maybe more than cartoons that were made today, were made for both adults and children. I mean, it's not so far from the age of Snow White being something that was actually for adults because it was the first sort of full-length animated film. So I actually think it's been a shift, and now programming is made almost exclusively for kids, and that too, segments of kids.
I'm with Shyam here.
I think Arvind is back.
Are you?
I am. I think I am.
You are, in fact, back.
I don't know. Yeah. What was I? So I missed out a bit of what you were saying, but I was saying that stuff like Adventure Time is made for adults and kids at the same time. And then I know you were saying that, you know, some cartoons nowadays are targeted specifically for kids. But if you look at the themes and the stuff that a show like Adventure Time talks about, none of it is specifically for kids. There's stuff about, you know, mental health. There's stuff about growing up. There's stuff about relationships. There's stuff about loss, grief, all those things that we spoke about when talking about Pixar is in that one cartoon. And that's not exclusive to Adventure Time. It's a bunch of new cartoons that have come out, like Steven Universe and Gravity Falls, you know, the Bear Bears have...
Thank you. Thank you for bringing up Bear Bears. Because Bear Bears, I think, is tremendous and completely falls into this category of what you're talking about, where it's so funny. When I watch Bear Bears, I'm like, who was this written by? It's so deeply funny. And you could also read it straight up as a bunch of bears who walk around in a column. Or you could look at it as talking about differently abled people, being friends despite your differences, you know, looking past issues of, I don't know, race in the case of a panda and a polar bear and a brown bear, you know. So I think you're right. So that's my preference. But I think that that's very hard to achieve.
Do you think that what's actually changed is what children's entertainment is supposed to do? Because I think when we were kids, or so 80s and even not so much Captain Planet and so on, but when you talk about your, you know, Tom and Jerry or whatever, for instance, they're not actually meant to really teach us anything. They're just meant to be fun, and they're meant to be the Three Stooges of cartoon for kids. Versus now, I think almost all children's content is put out with a purpose. What's the lesson? What do they take away from this? How do they form kids? And that's because we've also learned how formative these experiences can be.
Yeah, most definitely.
Does that detract from the entertainment value?
Well, not with Bear Bears, clearly.
No,
I will stand for Bear Bears, you know, forever. I also wanted to bring up, and I know that they've fallen a little bit out of fashion, but I wanted to bring up Minions, because Minions are basically silent movie characters. They don't really speak. So a lot of what's going on is happening through mime and, you know, physical comedy. If they were physical things, it would be called physical comedy. And for that reason, I think they are one of those weird animations or weird pieces of children's entertainment that kind of transcend a bunch of things because they can go anywhere.
Yes, I think Minions was a real throwback, really back to that era of slapstick, falling over each other and doing silly things. And that was kind of why they were so refreshing for both adults and children.
And also, like, babies, like toddlers. And that's one of the earliest cartoons that Ariana got watched along with us and kind of like paid attention to it, you know, for longer than 20 seconds, just because I think there were no words and she could just like watch and laugh. You know, even as a baby, she enjoyed that. So I guess the Minions did a really good job.
So we do have one more clip, you know, rather than us being a bunch of adults talking about what kids these days are watching, we're just going to hear from the kids these days themselves.
Hello everyone, my name is Rock Kang Am. Today I'm 9 years old. I like to see Ultraman because Ultraman got superpower.
Hi, I'm Jenna Bell. I'm 5 years old and I like to watch Mr. B because he's funny.
Hello, my name is Wai Ming. I am 11 years old this year. My favorite TV show is Gravity Falls. Why I like it is because I like how the plot plays, I like the characters, I like how the story is set and that they pay attention to detail.
Hi, my name is Isita and I'm 5 years old. My favorite TV program is The Magic School Bus. I like it because they transform into animals and fossils and trees and so many different things. And they travel everywhere in the magic bus and they go on lots of adventures.
What's not to love about a magic bus and that voice?
Yes, I know. And the detailed description. And you know, I do think that we haven't touched on this, which is the idea of adventure. Mm. And that was very clear in our last little speaker, you know, about this idea of I want to be able to go on adventures. I want to watch something that takes me places, explores things. And I think the best shows and the shows that maybe stay with us the longest, whether or not they explore physical places or emotional space, those tend to be the ones that have, I think, the longest staying power.
Yes, I think earlier when we spoke about Captain Planet, because I just can't stop talking about it, clearly, you know, that's what came to mind, and then I didn't say it, which was that who wouldn't want to watch a show where they can pretend that they can traipse around the world and you know, stop supervillains and
what do you mean them. Pretend?
That's true. I was Blinker when I was growing up. Arvind?
No, do you think... So I have this theory... I have this theory that, you know, things changed in the 90s. And I think any kid who grows up in any decade might say that, but I think things changed in the 90s because for some reason, the 90s kids that grew up decided that they didn't want to stop watching cartoons and they didn't want to stop being kids. And I'm looking at stuff like Dan Harmon's Rick and Morty, which is a cartoon. And it's designed for adults. It's offensive, it's repulsive, it shouldn't exist, but it does, and it's one of the best things. And the reason it's done as a cartoon is because he knows that there are adults out there, people like us, who would watch his cartoons. And I don't know when that changed, and I don't know if that's the reason why we have such different content today. I don't know why, if that's the reason why you know, kids watch things that are very different from what we watched growing up, things that are more complicated, things that are more layered and nuanced and gritty and dark and have, like, you know, subliminal messages. But I think somewhere along the line, someone decided that they didn't want to stop watching cartoons and they wanted to make content for adults and kids at the same time on a very obvious level. Someone like a Dan Harmon.
I think somewhere along the line, there were also just more opportunities to do that, more channels, more platforms, more studios willing to take the risk and narrowcasting rather than broadcasting. So, you know, you didn't have to appeal to the whole family watching the afternoon TV.
Yes, which brings me to a question for Audrey, which is this idea of YouTube and the tablet. And, you know, you've been talking about the huge array of stuff that's available now, right? And I think for me, how has it been different watching your daughter grow up watching things compared to how you watch things? Because, you know, you would have been stuck with advertising, for example, which they don't have to deal with. A remote control is not a YouTube search. You know, these are very different things.
Remote control. I had to walk to the TV to press the button to change the channel.
I used a skateboard to roll myself there. So so this is what I'm saying, right? Like, how has it been for you watching these different ways your daughter is watching things?
So the thing is, for me, I'm just constantly worried about her being spoiled for choice because I remember having to wait till like 5 p.m. to be able to watch. And there was a time before TV3 came on where it was just RTM1 and RTM2.
Pre-TV3.
Like, yeah,
wow.
I know. And I know most of you might not remember that time, but it was tough. You really couldn't choose. You just had to watch whatever was on. And now, you know, she just sits there like a tiny little dictator. And, you know, when I turn on YouTube, she just goes like, not that one, next, okay, this one. And then like 20 seconds in, she's like, not this one, I want another one. You know, so she doesn't even finish an entire episode. She knows that there are other options. And especially if you watch something on a tablet or you watch something on your mobile phone, you just get to skip so easily that I worry about her paying attention and, you know, just like trying to complete something because it's so easy not to complete an episode. And I'm the kind of person, like, I have to watch something till the end. I have to read a book till the end. And I'm worried she's not going to be the same.
I wonder how creators are going to create. I mean, in light of that, right, whether things will just keep getting shorter and I don't want to take us down this path because we're ending. So this is a dark place to go. So in closing then, we've been nostalgic. We've also talked about some newer things, some weirder things. If we are headed towards a long weekend, what are you guys planning to rewatch in the name of nostalgia and now that we've unearthed so much from this show? Arvin, I'm worried about your connection, so you go first.
I might go and look for episodes of Courage the Cowardly Dog because I haven't seen it in so long. And you know, since we're talking about like weird, trippy, sort of dark, gothic cartoons, I would watch that. Or I would just binge on Gargoyles again. Like it's one of those two things. Or Hey Arnold. But I'm going to look for Courage because I haven't seen that cartoon in a while. But I think I'll still enjoy today.
I'm going to have to say Gem. Gem is adventure. Ooh, Gem. Ooh. I can always watch Gem. I still like sort of watch episodes off and on when I want to feel, I don't know, 8, 9. I can't remember how old I was.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Time travel.
Yes.
I think I'm going to go home and try and look up X-Men. I realize, you know, just talking about it today, I really miss the cartoon version. That or, you know, maybe a little bit more Batman and Thundercats if I can. You know, all this is available on YouTube, right? Please
it
tell
is,
me
totally.
It is.
Totally. Also,
you know.
She really was the it hipster is. Of children.
I'm going to replay the Captain Planet theme from now until next Wednesday. And I'm also definitely going to watch Hey Arnold. I think that was one of those shows that had a mystery and a sweetness at its heart, and I never get tired of it. So yeah, I'm going to spend some time with Football Head. Let us know, you know, what are you going to revisit or what did you love as a child? I can't get enough of the messages that we've been getting. Again, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. And if you want to reach us on other platforms, you can also email us. We are at movies@bfm.my. We're also BFM Popcorn, which you can find on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to be back next week. Keep it here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.